comes Inspirational Gold with Carol Gold. Truth, empowerment, and inspiration. If you're tired and done with news that has an agenda, politicians that seek only re-election, and a culture run amok, Carol Gold awakens you to what is and what's possible. And now, supporting you on the journey, honoring you in your choices, empowering you to be your highest self, and always lighting and leading the way, here is Carol Gold.
Well, hi and good evening. I am Carol Gold, and I'm so happy to be here tonight with you because last night was a failed effort on the part of Blog Talk Radio's technology, but I'm here now. The number for call-in is 858-777-8442. Your questions and your comments are welcome during the next half hour. I will be doing on-air readings for those of you who want to call in or type your questions into the chat room. But first, before I get to readings, I'd like to start off the show with some observations. Recently, I heard a very moving story of someone who recently went to Auschwitz, the concentration camp in Poland, where some of the most egregious crimes took place, crimes against humanity, and the person happened to get into a dialogue with a Polish woman who lived in one of the surrounding towns surrounding Auschwitz, and the American asked the Polish woman, because this particular woman had hidden Jews during the Holocaust and provided them with food when the Nazis were seeking them out. And so the American asked this Polish woman, tell me, how did you become righteous? What caused you to do that? And the Polish woman responded by saying, the righteous didn't become righteous suddenly. We just refused to go over the cliff with everyone else. And I thought that was a very insightful and telling comment because it made me think about much of what's happening in our culture today, and particularly around heroism and leadership. And to follow that up, I saw a story today about a golden retriever who threw his body in front of an oncoming bus in order to save the blind person that this dog was a service dog for. And so the dog has broken legs. He's going to live. His name's Fido, in fact. But that, to me, is what heroism is. Caitlyn Jenner is not heroism to me. What he's done, what Bruce Jenner did, what she's done, whatever you're comfortable calling it, is not heroism to me. And yet it's being treated like heroism. And so it makes me wonder what has happened to our definitions, what has happened to our values, what has happened to our principles. You know, some people say, oh, soldiers are heroes. Well, I don't think every soldier is a hero. I think, because especially if you don't believe in war, if you don't believe that that solves anything, you would never say that anyone who puts on a uniform and goes to fight or represent their country in combat, you'd never say that person is a hero. However, you do hear of heroic acts in wartime. People who may or may not want to be in uniform, but they've answered their country's call. And things happen that cause them to rise to occasions way above and beyond what most of us would do. You know, not too long ago, I was at an event in Houston, and a young man was being memorialized. He had been killed in Operation Protective Edge last year in Gaza. And one of the young men who was there as another honoree was an American soldier, American, who had volunteered in the Israeli Army. And when you go into the Israeli Army, one of the first things they do, they type cross-match your blood, and they ask you if you want to be an organ donor because you run the risk that you will die, even as an American volunteer, if you're going into the Israeli Army. And so this young man had checked, yes, that he would be an organ donor. Well, it turned out that during his first year of service, a young girl in Israel needed a bone marrow transplant. And this young man's blood type and bone marrow happened to be a match. So the Army asked him if he would donate, and he could donate one of two ways. He could donate blood, or he could donate bone marrow. He elected to donate bone marrow. He gave hip marrow, and several months after that, he was contacted by the Army again because an older woman needed bone marrow, and he was a perfect match again. And for the second time, this 22-year-old stepped up, and he offered his other hip. And so they operated twice, and they took bone marrow from his other hip. While he was recovering from the second hip bone marrow donation, his unit was called into service into Gaza in Operation Protective Edge. And he said to his doctor, "I'm out of here. My unit's been called up and they're in Gaza." And the doctor said, "You're not well enough to go. You haven't recovered sufficiently from the second surgery." And this young man said, "My unit was called. I'm out of here." And he got out of the hospital bed and he put on his uniform. He went to Gaza and he fought with his unit in Operation Protective Edge. I call that heroic action. Both, not just putting his uniform back on, both donations from both hips, a 21-year-old. And so I'm at a loss lately for much of how we define things in this country and what's happened to boundaries and borders around values and principles. And the one thought I would like to maybe impart to you tonight is, what are your values and what are your principles? Do you know? Have you checked in lately? Have you reevaluated them lately? Do you have values and principles that are unflinching, that are immovable? Do you have values and principles, the ultimate question is, that you would die for? And nobody likes to think of that question, but Martin Luther King thought of that question, and people in the path of ISIS have to think of that question. And just because that's not in front of us today doesn't mean that it or something similar may not happen in our lifetimes, where we need to know what it is we believe in and just how strongly we believe in it. You know, whether or not you believe in gay marriage, I will tell you that a petition has been signed in this country by 40,000 pastors, ministers, and rabbis. 40,000. And what it says is, it says that if the Supreme Court rules that gay marriage is the law of the land, that those pastors, ministers, and priests and rabbis will go to jail before, in their churches or synagogues, they will marry a man and a man or a woman and a woman. Now, the issue here that I want to bring up is not gay marriage. That's not what I want to talk about, and that's not why I use that example. I use it because if that were to become the law of the land, then any rabbi, priest, or minister, or pastor who refused to marry a man and a man or a woman and a woman would be subject to fine, imprisonment, and the particular church or synagogue would lose its 501(c) charitable status. If a church or a synagogue loses that status, they can't raise money anymore under tax-free contributions. And so the repercussions and the ramifications are huge for a ruling like that by the Supreme Court, potentially either demanding that people of a certain religious belief violate their principles within the confines of their own religious organization, or it also runs the risk of ending organized religion in this country. Whether you believe that's a good thing or not, I'm making a point about 40,000 ministers, pastors, and priests who have a principle that they're willing to go to jail for. I think that if in the area of heroism and leadership we had better defined principles, we'd be living in a more in a country with more integrity now and better leadership and perhaps better role models for our young. So let me go to my callers now and see how I can help. Let's go to area code 229. Hi, this is Carol. You're on the air. May I help you? And what is your name? Hello, area code 229. Okay, I don't have anyone there. Let's see what that's all about. Let me try another caller. Is this area code 630?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Hi, my name's Carol, and you're on the air. Can I possibly answer a question for you, or do you have a comment?
I would like a question.
Okay.
Sure. What's your name?
My name is Mia.
Mia, hi. Welcome to the show, Mia.
I have a question about my job.
Okay.
I have accumulated vacation time.
Yes.
And then suddenly my boss just said the calculator calculated your time wrong. You shouldn't have all this vacation hours. So you don't really have all these hours because you're not considered full-time. You're a part-timer, something like that. And where in the past, I've been able to use the hours that I've accumulated because there's no sick benefit. And now that benefit that I have, that's the only benefit that I have from working there, is being taken away. Is this something where, it's the end of this job?
I don't think it's the end of the job, Mia. I'm getting a couple of things. The first is, as a part-time employee, as a matter of course, you are not entitled to benefits. Now, if you have had that benefit in the past, you've had that benefit in the past, does not mean that that employer has to give it to you going forward. As a part-time employee, that benefit is been a gift, a perquisite, an extra, so to speak, that you didn't have to get as a part-time employee. I rarely hear of part-time employees that get vacation time. However, I don't doubt that you've had it. I only am telling you that both as an intuitive and also as a lawyer, which I am, I don't believe that he has an obligation to continue to give you that time. Now, having said that, I also feel that for some reason, is this a supervisor or is this person an owner of a company?
The owner had mentioned this, but the supervisor had no problem.
Yes, and so here's what I'm feeling. The owner is having financial problems or personal problems. I'm not sure which, but he's definitely having problems, or she's having. Is it a man?
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's a man. Yeah.
It's a man and a woman, so they have both financial and personal. But my payroll isn't really breaking their bank account.
No, but they are trying to cut back wherever they can. And so did you make an effort? Did you talk to the supervisor already, yes?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And the supervisor's basically said, it's not me, it's the owner, right?
Right.
Okay.
Because I'm planning on taking time off and because I have accumulated the hours, it's supposed to cover, like, if I get sick or something. That's why it's put on the vacation part, because I don't get sick pay.
So right.
Then, I'm planning on taking this time off and to get paid for the hours that I will be off, but now I'm being told differently.
Was there anything in writing ever?
No, as far as this go, it was a payroll company that they hired, and now they're telling me the payroll company have calculated this wrong. And really, the payroll company is using a software to calculate what they would do for every employee, but the owners themselves can just say, I don't need to give this person this many vacation hours, and the payroll company would just totally do what they want.
Right. So do you know how many
I mean, I have used these vacation hours in the past, last year, and I've managed to go on a vacation with paid because
Listen, you're not listening for a minute. I understand they did it in the past, and I'm telling you they don't have an obligation to do it going forward as a part-time employee. However, what I'm feeling intuitively is, do you know how many hours you do have coming to you of paid vacation?
Yes, I have like 5.5, 24 hours.
Okay.
24 hours. So, and now they're telling me that they want to take that away.
I understand. And
which is not a lot.
It doesn't matter. It's something, and you feel that you're entitled to it. I would do this. This is what I'm feeling intuitively. You don't have a right to those hours. As I told you, that was something the company was doing as a benefit that they did not have to give a part-time employee, is my guess. However, I feel intuitively, if you're willing to take half of that, if you went and said, I realize I believe I have 25 hours, and I believe that those are that's the right calculation. However, I understand that there may be we may be going through some difficult times, the company, and I would be willing to take 12.5 hours. I feel that you can get a reduction of the hours and still get paid.
Well, I didn't get that opportunity to really negotiate. Pretty much, the owner just said your hours are not valid.
I understand.
Reflect on the next paycheck. And so, and then they have already put it through the payroll as of today.
Well, they can, but they could also give you those mm-hmm. hours going forward, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm
if
telling
they decide
you.
To.
I'm okay. telling you, you're asking me a question, Mia, and I'm telling you that I would mm-hmm. recommend that you go to them. And you say, I thought it over. I really do believe that it is unfair. However, I also can appreciate financial difficulty for the company. So I want to make a suggestion, and that is, because I'm a good employee and I want to stay here and I want to continue to contribute, that I would ask for half of those hours instead of all of them. And I feel you may be able to make some progress that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay? So good luck to you with that, mm-hmm. Mia.
Yes, thank you very much, Carol.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, let's try area code 229 again and see if we can actually hear that person. Hi, this is Carol. You're on the air. What is your name?
This is Reverend James.
Reverend James, hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Do you want to make a comment tonight, or do you have a question, Reverend James?
I do have a question. I'm interested in what you're seeing about me getting a new car.
That's such a funny question, Reverend James, because I've just gone through me getting a new car. So what do I feel about you getting a new car? What I would like you to do, as you know, Reverend James, I often use the cards, and I do have them with me tonight. So I would ask you to choose from the messages from the angels or from the fairies or from the message or from, let's see, or from the mermaids.
I think I'd like the angels, messages from the angels.
Okay, messages from the angels. Let's do that. This is for Reverend James, and he's asking tonight about getting a new car. So, Reverend James, they're asking me two things. One, they're asking me, have you meditated on it?
I haven't actually. I actually thought I was going to be doing some of that kind of work of manifestation and meditation this evening.
Okay, so that's the first thing. The first thing is that they're telling me to tell you to meditate on it. It's not that they don't want to give you an answer now. I do have some follow-up. But what the follow-up actually is that they, and I don't know if they're talking to me or they're talking to you, but I'm hearing and I'm being guided to say that now that you've asked for help, get out of the way. So my instinct is that if you've been struggling with this question, they want you to get quiet and listen to the guidance. My initial question to you was going to be, because I know something. I mean, I know you off air, so I know that you recently had damage to your car. They're asking me, is there frame damage?
There might be some.
So I'm hearing that if there's frame damage, to get a new car, and if there isn't, to just repair it.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like I need to get a new car then, because there is some.
So, yeah. So, again, though, I'd like you, and they would like you, and I on their behalf would like you, to meditate on it yourself tonight, because there seems to be, I'm hearing more to this issue than meets the eye, and I don't know what that is relating to. But, oh, okay. So what I just heard is when you're in meditation this evening and you're asking mm-hmm. about the car, there's mm-hmm. something else that wants to come through that I don't think is related to the car. And so mm-hmm. they want you, when you meditate this evening, they want you to really step out of trying to, they don't want you so much to pose a question other than the car question. They want you to then open up completely and receive, because there's something that's, and it's not just tonight, Jay. Apparently, it's been trying to come through for several days at least, and maybe almost a week. And you have not yet received it. And so they're saying that tonight you can.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've been a little bit off because of the car accident.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the last two nights, I haven't. I've actually stepped away from my meditation. So, I understand that tonight probably could be significant, because I'm calm again and I'm relaxed and I'm feeling good.
Well, that's good. I'll share this with you. I've had an auto accident myself last year, and we tend not to honor our age and what the recovery time is that's necessary after what seems like not such a terrible accident. You would be surprised how much of a hit the body and the brain take when there's whiplash and et cetera. So be very respectful, continue to be. You may have a good day and then you may have not a good day, and it may take more time than you would like to get back to that level of productivity where you are used to being. So we will send you all kinds of light, and I ask anyone who's on the show tonight to surround Reverend James in light, healing light, and to, in fact, let's just take a moment right now. Are you open to this, Reverend James?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's do this right now. We're going to go into silence for about 60 seconds, and I'm asking everyone in the chat or on the line to please now open your heart. Open your heart so that you can become a vehicle, and then allow your heart energy and that light which is flowing through it to reach out into the universe and to identify Reverend James, who is located in the state of Florida, and to connect with his heart. And so when I get quiet and stop speaking, I would like you to literally envision light going from your heart like a cord connecting to Reverend James's heart, and then allowing the universe to use that cord for one purpose only. We're going to surround that cord in the divine white light of protection, and we're going to use that cord and allow that cord to be used as a vehicle for transmitting healing light into Reverend James Ellis. Okay, Reverend James, I would just like to share with you that from my perspective, first before I do, let's say thank you to all of the energies of the universe that have participated in that healing.
Thank you very much. I am truly in gratitude.
And Reverend James, I just for your information, your light body and your physical frame felt very fragile to me. And so I would again remind you that you're in a healing process. It's not a one moment, one time thing. It's a process that's evolving. And I see a couple of more weeks yet before you move back into full strength. So I hope that you continue to honor your body that way and recognize that the universe at times finds its own way to get us out of our own way, so to speak, and just become receivers, not transmitters. And that's where you are. You're in a transmission, you're in a reception phase, not a transmission phase.
Well, I really thank you. It's been really beneficial.
Well, good. Thank you, Reverend James. Blessing to you.
Thank you.
I have almost 2.5 minutes left. I have area code 513. I'm not sure. Do you have a question or are you just listening to the show, area code 513? You're live. Hello? Okay.
Hi, Carol. Huh? Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. And,
sure. So, who is it?
I was sending the healing mic. This is Deb, and I am from Cincinnati.
Okay, Deb, we've got 2 minutes. Can I help you with a call or healing, with a question or healing or a comment?
Yeah, well, I would just like to see if you would pull a card for me regarding our company that I work for.
Okay, Deb, archangels, fairies, or angels?
The archangels, please. Thank you.
Okay. Yep, sure. This is for Deb, and it's regarding her company that she's working for. We would ask for guidance that is extremely helpful and in her highest good. Take back your power, the Archangel Raziel. Use your God-given power and intention to manifest blessings in your life. Here's what I'm hearing. I'm sorry we only have a minute and 15. I'm hearing, Deb, that you're in too much of a, I don't mean this literally, but let me give you the best description. You're in too much victim mentality, meaning you're feeling too much at the mercy of the winds of change, and you're feeling too much subject to other people's decisions. It isn't true. You are more empowered, Deb, than you realize, and they want you to take that back now. Call on the Archangel Raziel to help you empower yourself and to move forward in a positive way. I feel that whatever's going on right now in the company is to your benefit in the long run.
Awesome. Thank you, Carol. God bless.
You're so welcome, Deb. God bless to you, too. So I want to thank everyone who was on the show tonight, those of you in the chat room. It's a joy for me to be back here on Blog Talk Radio doing readings. That is the love of my heart, truly. Please join me again next Tuesday at this time and Above the Fray podcast on Mondays and Thursdays with Steve Clark at 6 p.m. Central. Thank you, blessings, and namaste.